Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you guys all had a good holiday, a good Christmas. We're starting this year, about to happen, 2019. But as we approach the end of a decade, we tend to look back at what happened in this last decade. And you start thinking about things. You start thinking about your triumphs, your defeats, your successes. You start thinking about the relationships you made, the relationships you lost, people you lost. And you can get stuck just looking back. There's nothing wrong with looking back, but if it consumes you, you know, it can be a little much. It's okay, you know, we get older, our bodies start to fail, we can't do things that we used to do. Even this weekend, you know, we met with Lisa's family, like I said, 10 kids at our house, but there's 19 grandchildren, and we all hung out at her parents' church, and we were in the gym playing floor hockey, and she has four brothers, and they're so competitive, and she's the only girl, so I have something to prove to their brothers, maybe. But it did not go well. I woke up the next morning. I could barely get out of bed. I was like, I pushed it way too hard. So, you know, I'm getting older. And as we go through life and we live and we learn, we have these moments that define us. We all have them. Some of them can be significant things like graduating school, going to university, starting a new career, getting married, having children, losing people close to you, building new relationships, making new friends. You know, there's things that are monumental in our life, and they stand out. And sometimes when I talk to people about things in their childhood, it always amazes me what stands out to them. It might be something to me that's like completely insignificant, just a little detail. But for some reason or another, that moment impacted them so much, and it defines them. It impacts the way they live. It impacts the way they have relationships with people around them. Impacts the way they see the world, and impacts how they see Christians and religion, other cultures. Our childhood can impact a lot of things in the present life. Some things in our past we would like to forget, but we can't, no matter how hard we try. And when we get looking back, we get stuck, like this picture shows. Imagine you're in the most capable 4x4. This thing can get through anything. I mean, mud, snow, ice, it doesn't matter. It never gets stuck. But what happens if you take this vehicle and you take some heavy-duty chain and you attach it to an immovable structure, like, let's say, the CN Tower? Well, I'll tell you what happens. That once epic truck, it's going nowhere. And we do the same thing in our lives. We can chain ourselves and attach ourselves to our past. We all have this God-given potential. You know, it says that we can do all things through Jesus who gives us strength. But we allow things from our past to hold us back. We tie ourselves to these things, and we eventually get stuck. We struggle. Oh, how we struggle. We try to get free, but we're always stuck. Church, it's time we move on. It's time we clean house. And I don't mean just a superficial cleaning where you throw stuff on your bed and in the closet or throw it all in the garage like I do, but a real cleaning. Cleaning under the toilets, the dusting, even cleaning the ceiling. Clean those areas that people don't see that often. Those areas that you keep hidden. We need to get honest with ourselves and honest about our past. Mark chapter 2, verse 22. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. It's time we get some new wineskins up in here. You know, we keep trying to do new things in old ways, our new things with old mentalities. We're trying to do new things while bringing in this past with us. And what happens? Those wineskins burst. We can't contain it. And then we think it's the new things problem. It's the change's fault. That's why that didn't work out. No, it's our attitude. It's our mentality. It's because we're stuck with these old wineskins. God has plans to prosper us, plans to give us a hope and a future. And, you know, Jesus says he came to give us life to the full. But we miss out on that because we're not truly free from ourselves. Now, I'm not going to psychoanalyze every person here and try to help you deal with all your past hurts. I'm not a therapist, and frankly, I just don't have the time. But today, you know, only God has the power to do that, to heal us from our past hurts. But today, if I could just get you guys to recognize that maybe some things in your past, just maybe, they're keeping you from fully living out your life today, fully for God, fully sold out. Even if you could come up with just one thing, think about that while I'm preaching. And if you can do that, I will leave here happy. There's hope, there's light, and there's truth and a way towards freedom. But in order for that to happen, every chain needs to be broken, those things we chain ourselves to. And the truth is, the only thing that can break these chains is one name, and that name is Jesus. And we know that. We hear the name Jesus. But I'm tired of people coming to church, experiencing Jesus, and still allowing the things of the world to hold them back. It's like having all this power and this great things inside you and just deciding not to use it fully. Two worlds. We live in two worlds. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Before we're saved, we're slaves. We're slaves to our circumstances. We're slaves to how the world operates. We're slaves to the ongoings of the world, the routines, the mundane. We're slaves to money and slaves to lust, slaves to envy and gossip. We're slaves to fear, and we're slaves to the lies of the world. After we accept Jesus, however, we are no longer slaves. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. We know that our old selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. I like this saying, our old selves. It implies that we have a new selves. And it talks about that in the Bible. I'm going to touch on that later. Now, let's say you're in the market for a new car. You shop around, you do your research, you think, you know, you got the best car picked out. Go get the model, you go to the dealership, you talk to the guy, and there it is. The right car, the right price, at the right time. You sign all the papers. It's exciting. You have a new car. Do you then take your old car and drive it into the trunk of your new car just so you always have it, just in case? Is that what you do? No. If you're like me, you probably trade it in for way less than it's worth just because you want to get rid of it. But we don't do that, but we do this with our lives. We get our new lives in Jesus, and we try to drag something from our past life with us. This keeps us from experiencing a relationship with Jesus to the full, like I was talking about. It says in Romans 6:6 that our old selves were crucified. Now, Jesus was crucified on a cross. He hung there, and he died, and he suffered. Crucified. Crucified means dead, buried, gone, not a trace left over. So why are we keeping our past with us? Why are we keeping our old selves parts and pieces? I like that idea of cleaning house. And I was talking with a friend, and he says that in order to bring in the new year, he likes to clean his house. He cleans everything, top to bottom, spick and span. You know, he even cleans his kids. He says behind their ears and in their toes. Everything clean. He believes that the way he starts the year will dictate how the rest of the year goes. And I like this. You know, our house is our body. It says in the Bible that our body is a temple. And God wants us to clean our hearts. He wants us to be made pure. God can search your heart. He can reveal to you the areas that you need to change. I was talking to you before to think about something from your past that you might be hidden. I guarantee you, if you pray to God and you ask him to truly search your heart, he'll point out those areas. He'll show you where you need to change, where you need to move on. You might not like it. You might not want to change it, and that's up to you, but I guarantee you he'll show it to you. You're going to know in your mind beyond a shadow of a doubt. You already know right now. When we ask Jesus into our hearts, he makes our hearts his home. And you wouldn't want Jesus living in a pigsty. You don't want him living in some teenage boy's room, right? With pizza hiding under the bed and socks everywhere. No, you want him living in a nice place. So make your heart that nice place, not a dirty hole. This is why it's so awesome that we have a chance at a new life, a new self, and a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I love this verse. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. There are those words, the old is gone, the new has come. Don't take your new life and put it in an old wineskin. Don't buy your new car and keep your old car with it. God's given us this new life. Focus on that. New and old don't mix. It's like oil and water. But we've become so good at trying to do it. We get comfortable with our old habits, right? And we get comfortable with our old life sometimes, and we take pieces and we flip back and forth. We go back to our old lives, come church, do our new lives, back to our old lives, back to your new lives, back and forth and back and forth, rocking like a baby, you fall asleep. Wake up! Wake up! A Sunday Christian. Have you heard this term? Yeah, on Sunday I act like a Christian. Every other day of the week, I live like the world. You know, God calls us to live for him 100%. If you're only living for Jesus on Sundays, you come to church, you dress up, you look nice, you say the right things, you don't say certain things, you act a certain way, and every other day of the week, you're not living for him, you're not truly sold out for him, how much of God's blessing do you expect to get? About 1 out of 7. It's not a very good amount. If you want more of God's blessing, start giving more of yourself to him. You are only going to get what you put in. So why do we do it? Why? 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 Why do we not live our new lives, letting go completely of our old lives? It's because we're lied to. Every day, especially in our culture, especially here in North America, we are told to always want more. We're told that God isn't enough. You need to have more. If I only had more money, if I only had more beauty, if I only had more possessions, if I only had more friends, if I only had more friends on Facebook, if I only had more partners, if I only had more wives or more husbands, then I would be happy. They're lies. God's shown us the way, but we always want more. You think of Moses. He leads the people out of Egypt towards the promised land. And on the way, Moses is completely in communication with God. God speaks to him through a burning bush. God is with Moses as he parts the Red Seas. Complete communication. And he goes up on the mountain, and God reveals himself to Moses. You know, Moses was the first person with a tablet downloading straight from the cloud, right? But it's true. Moses gets the Ten Commandments. These are rules that we're to follow. And by doing this, you know, you can experience that closeness with God. But the people reject these rules. They wanted more. They don't want to follow the Ten Commandments. A few thousand years later, you know, Jesus comes in the form of a baby. God sends his son. We just celebrated Christmas. It's amazing. Jesus comes to this earth. And for 3 years, he has a ministry. He shows us the truth, the way, how to have life. All we have to do is follow him. All I have to do is follow his ways. It should be easy. And a few thousand years later, 2019, here we are. The question is, what more can God do? He sent his son to come and save us. His son lived a life pure, but he died a death that we deserved because of our sin. And because of that, he has atoned for our sins. That means we don't have to suffer the pain of death. He's taken the sting out of death. When it's offered to us, we usually accept that gift. You know, salvation, the gift that Jesus gives, grace, it's something we can all get on board with. We usually don't fight against that too hard. We say, yeah, you know, Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you. But we want more. It's not enough. We don't just want the grace of God, and we don't want to live our new lives. We want salvation, but we want to keep our old life at the same time. The world's tricked us. We're under this illusion that having the gift of salvation and living as the world does is like having your cake and eating it too. We think it's the best of both worlds. But what happens when you do that is that cake you're eating, it gets poisoned. And slowly but surely, it kills you. And it kills your relationship with God. You might think you're living the best of two worlds, but there's no such thing. Holding on to things in the past and living for Jesus, it's not the best of both worlds. Let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 13. No one can serve two masters, for you hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So this verse talks about money, but really, it can be anything that's not God. If you're serving anything above God, spend more time, put more importance on something other than God, you're serving two masters. We can't have the best of both worlds when it comes to serving God. If we love God so much, but we continue to do worldly things, then when we do those worldly things, we're going to feel guilty. We're going to feel like, God, I did you so wrong, and we just get down on ourselves. And if you're leaning the other way, where you're in the world but just doing a little bit of this Christian stuff, then when you pray, when you worship God, when you read your Bible, those times are going to feel completely empty. Because what you're taking in and what you're reading and what you're saying when you pray and trying to talk to God, they don't line up with the way you're living. And he won't meet you where you're at. Think of a person who is cheating on their spouse. They go outside of the marriage for something, whatever it is, physical, sexual, emotional. They're trying to fill a need somewhere else. Now, by doing that, is that going to help the relationship with their spouse? No. The answer is no. Amen. Just so you know. There's a closeness and a oneness that you experience in a committed relationship. And when you go outside, you know, your heart gets separated. Some of your love is for one person. The other part of your love is for someone else. And what seemed like a good thing at first just becomes stressful and miserable, and you end up hurting a lot of people. Same is true with your relationship with God. If you hold on to worldly things while you're serving God, then your heart will always be pulled in two directions. I love to worship God. You know, I get up here in front of you guys and I worship, and it's joyful, and it can be a really outward expression of joy for me. But it's not always that way. You know, sometimes when I allow things of the world to come into my heart and I just my thoughts and I'm not living fully for God, then my worship loses a little bit of that joy. You know, it's in those times that I have to repent, ask for forgiveness, to be able to brought back into that place where I can truly experience God and fully worship him. And also when I'm filling my head with things of the world and things that are not of God, also my worship can suffer. You know, I'm very conscious of what I put into my mind Saturday night before I get up here Sunday morning, because I don't want anything distracting me. I don't want anything taking away from the experience and what God has for me and what God has for you guys. But we hold on to these things from our past so tightly. We can't serve two masters. You can't cheat on God with the world. And why would you want to? God offers life and abundance. God offers freedom. Jesus can break the chains. All the world offers is death, destruction, decay, heartache, pain, sorrow. If you're going through all those things without God, then it's helpless. It's hopeless. There's no point in living a life separated from God. Don't cheat on God with the world. Crucify your old life by burning the ships. In 1519, Hernan Cortes landed in Veracruz to begin his conquest. Upon arriving on the shores, he gave the order to burn all the ships. You know, Cortes had a mission and a vision, and he knew if there was a way of turning around and escaping, he knew if there was a way out, his men might take it, he might take it. So when he showed up there, he gave the order, burn all the ships. I don't want any way out. We have a mission and we have a vision here at City Light Church. We want to reach people for Jesus. Now, are you guys keeping a way out? Do you guys have like maybe a secondary choice or maybe another option? If we really want to do this vision, if we really want to have this mission here, then we need to burn the ships. So I'm giving you guys the order today to burn the ships. Burn the ships on your past. Burn the ships on your past hurt, on your tragic experiences. Burn the ships on your past way of thinking, your wrong way of thinking. But most of all, burn the ships on your old lifestyles. Burn the ships on your old lifestyles. Those things I asked you to think about earlier, if you did come up with something, you know, right now, I'm just going to close in prayer. And I'm just going to get you guys to think about whatever that is. And we're just going to pray and we're going to offer it up to God right now. Actually, I'll get you guys all to stand, if you don't mind. If you guys would all just take your hand, clench your fist. This is what you are holding on to. This is that thing of the world that you can't let go of. The thing that you're serving other than God. This is the thing you are chained to that has held you captive. And this is what God is asking you to let go of. So right now, I'm going to say a name. And when I say that name, I want you to open up your hand. Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, we thank you so much that only you have the power to break our chains. Only you have the power to set us free, Father. God, my prayer is that everyone here could experience true freedom lived in you, God. There's nothing in the world that can give us any form of success. There's nothing in the world that can make us feel content or happy. There's nothing the world has to offer that we can't come to you and you can't fill us up. You fill that place that you've reserved just for you. That place in our hearts that is your home. God, that place that only you can satisfy. Thank you, Father. Right now, I just want to pray with anyone who hasn't accepted Jesus into their life. You guys just keep your head bowed. If you haven't done that and you feel like today is the day you want to give your heart to God, then just say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner. And I know only you can take away my sin. Jesus, I offer my life to you. Come live in my heart. Make my heart your home. Thank you for saving me.